This is David Cruz with the Comstock Report. The weather outlook. The 90-day SOI was 5.18 Tuesday, having backed down after temporarily reaching the positive 8 La Nina benchmark the previous month. The ENSO breathes, with the SOI falling and rising like a set of lungs. The La Nina has yet to lock in, vacillating. It was in retreat for much of October. The Climate Prediction Center thinks that it will eventually get there, but not match the previous El Nino for strength. Others do not think that it will stick around. I had a conversation with Dr. Elwin Taylor. He was not alarmed by what at this point is a weak La Nina. He says that it needs to be monitored. He said that northern Argentina, Paraguay, and southern Brazil tend to be dry during La Ninas. The Mato Grosso in northern Brazil typically produce well during a La Nina. The crop is off to a better start there, which always makes them tougher to kill. Taylor also noted that they get 10% too much rain in South America, so some mild reduction in moisture actually benefits them. Argentina has been losing far more crop to too much rain rather than too little. Argentina has deep soils more like our Corn Belt. USDA looks for 102 million metric ton Brazilian soybean crop compared to 96.5 this past season. It is already November and the La Nina has not yet locked in or intensified. That should mean that South American crops continue to do well for a while. The key for soybeans, however, is the weather in February, akin to August in our growing season. While we would prefer to have the crop problems stay in South America, what concerns me most is the drought that we already have in the deep south in the U.S. There's no need to wait for La Nina for drought if one is already here. This drought is intensifying in Mississippi, Georgia, Alabama, and South Carolina. Significant Corn Belt droughts tend to start in the southeast U.S. and then migrate into the Corn Belt. Taylor says that if the drought is still there in March, that he expects it to migrate up into the extreme eastern Corn Belt, into Ohio, and partway into Indiana during the 2017 growing season. It may also move to the west as well, possibly into Texas. He says that the major drought risk for the primary Corn Belt is in 2018. He sees the drought continuing to migrate west into Illinois and Iowa in 2018. Many have been saying that a fifth year of high production is unlikely, but I don't agree. You can find five consecutive good corn crops. According to Taylor, the Western Corn Belt should not be at great risk in 2017, while the producer in Ohio should bump up his crop insurance coverage. North Dakota produces almost as much corn as Ohio, and South Dakota produces more corn. The Corn Belt is shifted north and west. A 20% reduction in the Ohio corn crop is 108 million bushel. For perspective, USDA increased the U.S. crop 169 million bushels Wednesday in the November crop report. You're listening to the Comstock Report. One thing that I am looking forward to from a Trump USDA and administration is a different attitude toward the foodie movement and the Humane Society of the United States. The state of Massachusetts passed a referendum banning the confinement of livestock animals on farms and placed restrictions on the sale of meat coming from these farms. I guess that means that they can ban the sale of beef and pork produced in CAFOs in other states. The new GOP Congress needs to bring back Congressman Steve King's bill, making these kinds of state laws restricting commerce from other states illegal by federal statute. California has done this to us, too. This is not much different than being forced to pass the federal GMO labeling law because of Vermont's state GMO restrictions. The Massachusetts law doesn't take effect until 2022, so we have time. They need to nip this whole idea of states telling producers how to produce livestock under penalty of loss of market access. Oklahoma was going the other way, passing a right-to-farm law that prevents infringement on the rights of farming and producing livestock. HSUS should become persona non grata at USDA. I am amused how everyone is pussing around over President Trump. CME Economist wrote, "Promises of heavy tariffs on imports, the erection of a physical barrier with one of our largest trading partners, the commitment to do away with NAFTA, no TPP, limits on free trade in order to stimulate U.S. jobs, and other such commitments may have a significant impact on the meat industry." I only have a problem with one word, may have an impact. Give me a break. Over 20% of U.S. pork, nearly 20% of U.S. poultry, and nearly 10% of U.S. beef goes to export. What happens when the hog kill expands as new packing plants come online and the calves from the beef herd expansion get fat and export market growth stalls? Risk went up. You've been listening to the Comstock Report. For more information on marketing opportunities, visit us in Royal Iowa online at Comstock.com or call 712-933-9400.